I'm so grateful for all of the youth who have participated in today's service. Thank you so much for your leadership. Abby and Ava, thank you for reading the scripture. And Abby, I owe you an apology. I gave you a passage of scripture with some really hard words to pronounce. That was mean of me. I'm sorry. Today we are beginning a new sermon series called Living in the Spirit of God. This is the fifth part of a year-long study of the Bible. In your seats, or when you came into the room today, you should have been given this pamphlet. If you're watching online and would like to receive this pamphlet, just send me an email at mark@foresthills.org, and I will send you a copy. This little brochure recaps where we've been in this study. So if you're just joining us this week or in the last few weeks, this will be more of just a summary of the different parts of this sermon series. And I hope it will help you see what the main messages are in the Bible and how they're connected to one another and how it flows together. And most of all, it gives you a sense of the kind of work that God is up to. This final part of the sermon series is focused on the Holy Spirit. And the scripture that we heard just moments ago reminded me of the power of God's Spirit. You know, power is a simple word. And if there's one word that you'll remember from my message today, it's that word. You know, power is something we all need. And I do mean this in the most literal way. And throughout the course of time, people have searched for power, for energy. Coal mining, for example, started in China 200 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. About 800 years after that, the first windmill was built in Iran. Around 1700, the Maori people began using geothermal power for cooking and heating. The first oil well was drilled in Pennsylvania in 1859, and the first solar power plant was constructed in Algiers in 1868. We human beings really do go to great lengths to find power because it makes such a dramatic difference in our lives. And that's a message that I want to share with our high school seniors today. You know, your graduation is a significant milestone, and we do celebrate your accomplishments. I also want you to know that power will play a role in your life moving forward, as it does in all of our lives. You see, when we feel empowered, we're able to follow our dreams, we grow, and we can even make a difference in this world. It's when we're robbed of our power that we get discouraged, we lose hope, and our sense of joy is diminished. Now, people do go to great lengths to find power because we know life would be much harder without it. And I can't help but think of all the many different ways that Jesus empowered his own disciples. Think about it. He gave them power to teach. He gave them power to heal. He gave them power to forgive. Now, we sometimes think life was a lot easier for those 12 disciples than it is for us because they had Jesus physically present with them. But in John's gospel, this is in the 16th chapter, Jesus said to his disciples, "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you." God's Spirit, whom the Bible describes as a comforter, teacher, advocate, and guide, has come to us in the absence of Jesus. And this Spirit is available to everyone. In fact, Jesus promised that the Spirit would descend on each of us, just like it descended on him like a dove. And that same Spirit who filled Jesus will fill all who open their hearts. The Apostle Paul is a good example of that. He never saw Jesus in the flesh, but he did experience the Spirit of God, which transformed him from a violent, proud, and hostile man into one who practiced forgiveness, reconciliation, and love. And this happened because the Spirit of Christ was living within him, empowering him. And he began to see the world through the eyes of Christ. He lived with the Spirit. Now for Paul, living in the Spirit means sharing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You see, when the Spirit of Christ lives within us, we're able to turn away from old destructive habits like pride, greed, lust, anger, prejudice, and hostility. Our old self dies and is left behind. And what this teaches us is that life in the Spirit involves letting go of our sinful self. When we die to our old sinful identity, Paul says that we then join Jesus in being buried. This is symbolized in baptism. Going into the water is a sign of death and burial. It shows that we're empty, that we're powerless. But life in the Spirit doesn't end there. We go on by joining Jesus in his resurrection, which is symbolized by coming out of the water. See, when we let go and die to our old self, we make room for something new. And that creates space for the Spirit of God to come and fill our lives. Now, the Bible describes the Holy Spirit moving in our world in various ways, like wind, breath, fire, cloud, and water. It even describes the Spirit, as I mentioned a moment ago, as a dove. These images help us see the dynamic nature of God, which stands in stark contrast to the false gods people have created with golden idols and stone temples. And unlike those false gods, the Spirit of the living God inspires, it purifies, it holds mystery, it moves and flows, and it spreads life, hope, and joy. Now, we see this throughout the Bible. If you go to the beginning in the book of Genesis, the Spirit hovers over the waters like wind, bringing beauty and order out of chaos. In Exodus, the Spirit appears as fire in a burning bush and invites Moses to begin a new journey. The Spirit also appears as a pillar of cloud and fire who leads the people of Israel through the wilderness. And then hundreds of years later, John the Baptist talked about baptizing people with water, but Jesus would baptize people with the Spirit. And then later on, Jesus promised that if people would trust him, they will experience living water flowing through their lives. And at the heart of Jesus' message is the good news that the Spirit of God, who's like wind, breath, fire, cloud, water, and a dove, this Spirit is on the move in our world. This Spirit is seeking to empower people. But that does leave us with a choice to make. Do we dig in our heels and live for our own plans and desires, or do we let go and make room for the Spirit of God to move within us? Do we make room for the Spirit's power? Now, the disciples experienced this power on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit came as wind and fire. They discovered God's power that day. These disciples and other followers of Jesus had gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the Jewish holiday known as the Festival of Weeks, or Pentecost. It was a harvest festival, but it was also a time to give thanks for the gift of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. You see, the people of God were thankful for this law, which gave them inspiration and structure for their lives. The law was a source of power for them. But when the Holy Spirit entered that room where they had gathered, it ushered in a new kind of power. It filled the apostles with new life, enabling them to communicate with a diverse group of people. They spoke boldly to a large crowd of people, and they fulfilled the prophecy of Joel. This Spirit energized Jesus' followers, and it created a vibrant community of faith where believers found ways to connect to new people in their neighborhoods, towns, and cities. The apostles certainly needed this power, and they got it in an unexpected way. Acts tells us that when the day of Pentecost came, this is in the second chapter, verses 1 through 4, that Jesus' followers were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. They were filled by the Spirit. They were blessed with the ability to speak in a language they had never studied. This miracle is so significant because it tells us that God is multilingual. The Spirit isn't limited to one language or one culture. Instead, the Spirit speaks to everyone in his or her own native tongue. What happened on the day of Pentecost was a reversal of what happened in the story of the Tower of Babel, where the Babylonians were grasping after God-like power by unifying everyone under one language and one culture. But God opposed this uniformity. He ushered in diversity by multiplying languages. Now, throughout the course of history, we've seen examples of unity without diversity, and diversity without unity. But on the day of Pentecost, we see unity and diversity in harmony. And that tells us that this is important to God. Now, when I look at our graduates, and when I look at our whole church, I see a group of people with different gifts and talents, different goals in life, different passions and interests. But we're here today because we are united in Christ. And the Spirit of Christ is moving among us. So let's make sure we're making space for the Spirit, because when we do this, we grow, we mature, and we become the best people we can be. When we make space for the Spirit, we are filled with life, hope, and joy. And we're then able to share these gifts with others. The author Frederick Buechner shared a similar insight. And he put it this way. He said, "When your spirit is unusually strong, the life in you unusually alive, you can breathe it into others." That's what the Spirit does to us. That's what God did on the day of Pentecost. God's breath filled the apostles and inspired them, giving them the ability to go out and speak about God's power and his deeds to people from every nation that were living right there in Jerusalem. The apostles were able to speak in a variety of languages. And the people who saw this were amazed. Some of them were perplexed. Some even accused them of being drunk. But it was the Spirit who empowered them and filled them with life, hope, and joy. We do need to experience the mighty rushing winds of Pentecost, because there are huge challenges in our world and in our own lives that we have to face. We need our hearts to be set on fire by the Spirit. We need the living water that Jesus promised so that our hearts can be the home of life, hope, and joy. When we make space for the Spirit, and then the Spirit fills that space, we begin to change. We become more like Jesus. We begin to live out God's purposes for us and for our world. And we see growth in our own love, our own hope, and our own joy. Now, unlike other power sources that have limits and have drawbacks and are not always available, the Spirit of God is available all the time. All we have to do is ask for it. Now, if we are going to be part of a church that brings life, hope, and joy to others, then we're going to need the power of the Spirit. That's the message that Peter shared in his sermon. He told the crowd that God's Spirit was going to change them, that God would change their lives. And he said in verse 17, "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions." You know, there are believers today who are seeing new visions. Shane Claiborne is one example, has written about his own vision for the church in today's world. And in his book, it's a book called The Irresistible Revolution, he writes, "The early Christian church was known as the Way. It was a way of life that stood in glaring contrast to the world. Of course, everyone was forewarned that in this kingdom, everything is backward and upside down. The last are first, and the first are last. The poor are blessed, and the mighty are cast from their thrones." When Shane made space in his life for the Spirit, he began to experience life, hope, and joy in a powerful way, and it led him and some of his friends to move into a small, run-down house in a poor section of Philadelphia in 1997. And since then, they've shared food with the hungry and run a community store out of their home. They've reclaimed abandoned lots and planted gardens. They've rehabbed dilapidated houses and made friends with people in prison. Shane and his friends have been inspired by the Christian way. They've been inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that's led them to change their community. It's led them to try to change the world. You know, the Spirit is moving today. The Spirit is empowering us so that we can continue the mission and the ministry that Jesus began. The Spirit wants to fill each of us so that we can be filled with life, hope, and joy. And that in turn, we will share those gifts with others. And with the Spirit, we can make a difference in our world. The question is, are you ready to make space for the Spirit of God who wants to equip you to share the good news of Jesus Christ with a world that is filled with great needs and challenges?